Welcome to episode 69 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about why it's highly unlikely that you have lost your train, and why that sentence is entertaining for English teachers, when and how to use miss and lose properly, what Alistair and I actually miss about the UK, and how to describe someone who is despistado. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy. Hi everyone. Today we will be talking about a common mistake. It's a phrase that we hear from many of our clients, especially because maybe in the past, especially, we used to do maybe lots of sessions in different companies, and maybe a client would or a student would arrive late and they would say something like, sorry, you know, I lost the train. Or they probably would say, I lost the train. They might say, I lost my train. And when a client says that, an English teacher will always have a little bit of a smile on their face, because it normally, you know, it takes maybe 5-10 minutes to explain why that sentence is wrong. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about that, but most of you probably understand what's wrong there. But we're going to go into a little bit more detail as well. So, as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, Daniel. Good morning.
Yes, this particular problem, right? It's common. It's common. I suppose it's one of the classics. It is. And it's one of those that probably most Spanish speakers maybe know that they've made a mistake as soon as they say it, but it just comes sort of, they think of the word perder, no? Perder el tren. And so, you know, to lose the train, to lose the plane just comes very naturally, yeah. Right? And
I think the funniest is the plane, even more than the bus or a train. So maybe not, as you said, arriving to your class in the days before working remotely.
Yeah.
But maybe they've had a business meeting. They had to travel somewhere. A lot of our clients travel a lot. For business.
Yes, absolutely.
And they might be telling us an anecdote saying, oh, yesterday I had this meeting in Brussels and I lost the plane. And we think, and we're like, haha. So yeah. I don't think you lost your plane. And they're like, well, why not?
Yeah.
Say what? So I usually react in a way to make it funny, going, what? You have a plane? Wow. You have a lot more money. You must have a good salary. And they're a bit confused, going, what do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And they have to explain what it means if you say lose a plane or a bus or a train, which sounds funny and quite ridiculous in English to say that. But it's just a translation from the Spanish, no?
Better there. It is, yes.
But we don't use that verb to do with transport. That's the point.
That's right. And so let's go into a little bit of detail why an English teacher would find that funny. Because if you say, oh, I've lost my plane, I suppose, as you said, that's probably the funniest, because it seems although, you know, if you lose your train as well, that's quite ridiculous too.
All of them are funny, but as they get bigger, if you like,
yes,
and more expensive,
that's right.
It sounds even funnier. No?
That's right. That's right.
The question is why? Why does that sound funny to an English speaker?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Why is that funny? Why is that funny? Yeah. And I suppose the key thing here is the concept behind losing something, right? Yeah. It's kind of that when you lose something, te pertenece, right? It's like it belongs to you.
Yeah, exactly.
That object has to belong to you for you to lose it. Right?
Yeah, because if it's somebody else's, you can't lose it. It's nothing to do with you. So that's you can lose your mobile phone. I hope not. That's pretty terrible these days, given all the information we have in our mobile phones.
Yeah.
You can lose a pen. You can lose your glasses. Mm. So something that is yours, belongs to you, you can lose it, which means you put it somewhere. You don't remember where you put it. And you're looking for it because you can't find it. And then hopefully you find it. You go, oh, here it is. I left my phone in, I don't know, in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So there must be something belongs to you and you can't find it. You've lost it.
Yeah.
So obviously, if you say, I lost my plane, you go, wow. So first of all, you have your own plane.
Yes.
So you have to, you know, like, I don't know, Tom Cruise or somebody, a rich Hollywood or one of these billionaires. So you have your own private plane, absolutely, number one, which is pretty unusual. I don't think any of my clients are rich enough to have their own plane, as far as I know.
If they are, you should put the price up.
I was going to say, if they do, I'll be tripling my fee. And then they've lost it. So you say, well, come on. I mean, a plane, it's pretty big, no?
Yeah.
You must have a very big house not to be able to find your plane.
That's right.
Where did you see it last? You say, well, I had my plane. I had it 10 minutes ago in the living room and I don't know where I put it. So it just sounds absolutely hilarious to say you lost a plane or a train or a bus equally.
Yes, exactly.
So it's that meaning of what lose means in English. Now, obviously, in Spanish, it has a wider meaning.
That's the point, isn't it? That's because the point.
It sounds perfectly okay in Spanish to say lost the plane.
Yes, yes. So we, because, we have that difference, I suppose. And again, it's that key idea that in many cases the problems occur when in English there are more words than in Spanish or the opposite way around, right? And so perder in Spanish can obviously be used for miss something or lose something, to miss something or lose something.
And there's the vital word that they need, miss.
Miss, exactly.
So say, no, you didn't lose the plane, you missed the plane or the bus or the train. Mm-hmm. And that sounds perfectly okay, because that's the word that we use in that situation. We don't use lose because it sounds funny. Because it's not yours to lose.
That's
so, you know, I can't lose your iPhone, your phone.
Hmm.
Only you can lose your phone. Hmm. Well, I mean, if you give it to me, if you lend it to me, I could lose it. Okay.
That's true.
But still, it's the property of someone that you know, usually yourself in most cases. No?
Yeah.
So I can't lose my neighbor's keys. He has his keys and he can lose them, but not me. I can lose my keys. I think the worst things you can lose is probably your phone and your car keys or your house keys. No?
Yeah, or your wallet.
Or your wallet with all your credit cards and ID. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in my case, as people who go back to the very first episode of the podcast, I lost my passport in India.
Yes.
So that's also one of the worst things you can possibly lose when you're abroad. Well, it's even bad losing it at home,
but
much worse if you're on holiday and you need it
to get home.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, there's an example of losing something. That passport was mine and I lost it, but I couldn't lose unless you gave it to me, which would be a very strange thing to do. I can't lose your passport. Only you can lose your passport.
This whole
idea of losing a plane or a train does sound very, very... You go, what? You have your own bus and you've lost it. It's very big.
It's kind of like two. Basically, it's funny because there are two very unlikely scenarios, right? Yeah. Number one, that you have a bus in the first
place. That is your property. Your own private bus, number one.
Exactly. And that secondly, you've lost such a large object, right?
Yeah. I mean, which is quite difficult.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's funny two levels is strange. Yeah.
As soon as you say that sentence, a smile will normally come across an English teacher's face. You know,
yeah, it's impossible not to smile or laugh even sometimes and go, what, you lost? Or you sort of go, what, you lost a plane? You have a plane and you lost it? With incredulity in your voice.
Yes, that's right.
Sometimes, as you said, the student immediately goes, oh, yeah, sorry, I know, miss.
Yeah.
And they correct themselves. But a lot of students don't know. They just go, what's wrong? I can't, what do you mean? What's the problem? They don't understand. They say, better there, no? And in English is lose. Perder is lose in English, but we don't use it in that context.
That's right.
So it must be, as you said, something belongs to you, is your property. Or a person, you know, you could lose your wife in a shopping center or your children. Where's my kids? You've lost them. So, but still, they're your kids. That's the point. They're not somebody else's kids.
Well, that actually has happened to me a few times, especially with my first son. And you know, you're talking about stressful moments. That is definitely massively stressful.
I was going to say, that's worse even than a phone.
Absolutely. That's things of sort of nightmares. You know, you wake up
every
in a cold
parent's
sweat.
Nightmare. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
in a busy situation, in a crowd of people in a big fiesta.
That actually happened to me once, I think, in a shopping center and once in IKEA. And it was always a massive relief when I saw my son sort of just sitting there on a sofa, in IKEA somewhere, why are you there? Do you know what I mean? And then in another shopping center, it was like he was literally in within the clothes. This is when he was quite small, you know, he could like inside one of those sort of clothes racks, which is kind of like a circular shape, and he was right in the middle of one of those.
But hiding, you know, deliberately, or
well,
just,
no, just sort of playing. Do you know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, it's like that is, I'm sure some of our listeners have had the same experience.
Have you ever had the situation where you actually on the tannoy, which is the public address system? They sort of say, Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Yeah, Smith. No. We have a child here.
No, I haven't ever had that. You know, it's like being a few. It's one of those moments that kind of like passes very slowly. You know, it's kind of time stops. But I've never had the sort of embarrassment of somebody literally, you know, explaining.
That happened to me when I was a child. So I got lost in a, I can't remember what it was, some kind of big public event with lots of people. Some kind of country fair or something like Feria.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was a long time ago and I was very little. And I got lost, separated from my parents. It's very easy when you have, you know, large crowds of people.
Of course, absolutely.
And so I was just there, I think, crying and lost. And someone just went, are you lost? Do you not know where your mummy and daddy are? I was going, no. And they took me to, they had like, you know, a meeting point. So there was a place where you could, you know, people got lost. So they took me to this, I don't know, office or something. And they did on the public address system, you know, they were saying, you know, because they said, what's your name? Said, there is a, you know, we have a child here called Alistair. Has anyone lost an Alistair? And my parents came and, you know, found me.
Yeah.
So I was very young. It's one of my earliest memories, in fact. But I remember being, you know, terrified.
Yeah, I'm sure.
As a kid walking around with all these people and you don't know where you are.
Well, that's right. That is terrifying. I think both
for the parents and for the child.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if it's in a massive sort of gathering very small, as well.
There's all these big people walking around.
Totally lost.
Although your son was quite happy just playing in the club.
Oh, yeah.
That's slightly different.
Kind of like, that is different, yeah. So, yeah, if we kind of go, so like lose is then therefore the wrong verb, right? And we what we have to use is miss, right? And then we kind of probably should go into the whole idea of what the actual meaning of miss is, right? Because obviously we're talking about missing the train, missing the bus, missing the plane, but there is a kind of wider meaning to miss, which hopefully will make it clearer for our listeners as actually why miss is the right verb to use here, right?
Yeah, well, actually, this has actually come to me through having to explain it. Mm. So it's something I never really connected before. Sometimes an English teacher, you do learn a lot about your own language.
Yeah,
you start to make connections between things that never occurred to you before. Mm. So I might say, oh, but miss has other meanings, and start explaining some of the other meanings. And through doing that, you sometimes go, oh, wait a second. Actually, now I understand why we say miss the bus, because it connects with another meaning. So another meaning of miss, but in fact, it is really the same meaning, in fact, or the same use, if you like, is to say, I always say, well, in football, you can miss a penalty. Mm. So, you know, you have an objective, which is trying to put the ball in the net to score a goal.
Yeah.
And you don't. Either the goalkeeper saves it or you don't hit the goal. So you miss the penalty. So it's like un fallo, no fallar. You don't, you want to do something, you have an objective and you don't achieve it. And that is miss. And then, when I've been explaining that to people, I've suddenly gone, wait a minute. Well, I suppose that's like the bus, really, when you think about it, which I've never connected that in my life. So you go, oh, yeah, because, you know, what's your objective? To catch the bus at 10 o'clock. You arrive 2 minutes late at 2 minutes past 10 and you miss it. So you had an objective and you failed. You didn't achieve your objective to catch the plane or the bus. So in fact, it's not so different, really, to missing a penalty in football.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I only made that connection through being a teacher and having to explain it to my Spanish clients. Otherwise, probably most native speakers, if you ask, they'd probably never thought about that before.
No, definitely not. No. It's kind of, and that is something that does happen as you teach a language, right? You get, you kind of just dive into a little bit more and suddenly these connections come along.
Yeah.
So there you go. Like you might miss a penalty and therefore you're missing your objective. You miss the train and so you're, therefore you're missing your objective. Mm. And this can be sort of extrapolated to business context as well, right? So the whole idea of missing a target, whether that's a sales target or any other type of, you know, revenue target, then that can be missed as well, right? You can miss a specific target or whatever it might be.
Yeah, you set your objectives, your goals, your targets. There's lots of words for these things, no? And yeah. as you say, it can mean anything, whether it's, you know, revenue targets, sales targets. You know, we want to increase sales in the next quarter by 5%.
Yeah.
And if you don't achieve that target, you miss it. Just like, you know, a football player missing a penalty.
Yeah.
Or an archer, arquero, firing an arrow, flecha, trying to hit the target, and you don't do it. You miss it. So it's all the same, really, in the end, though it's not achieving your objectives.
Yeah.
So yeah, as you say, metaphorically speaking, not physically, like a football player missing a penalty, which is a physical thing. Mm. Yeah, you don't achieve the objective you've set yourself in a business context.
Absolutely.
You miss the sales target of whatever it may be.
And we even actually thought about a phrasal verb, right? That also is kind of interesting here, because especially related to business issues, you can actually miss out on something as well.
Yeah, you miss out on, preposition on, miss out on something.
Yeah.
Which is basically the same, just I don't know why we add that little extra miss out on an opportunity.
Yeah.
So you have a fantastic opportunity in business to make a fantastic deal with a client. Maybe worth millions, could be, I don't know, an advertising campaign. So if you work in an advertising company, you're trying to sell this advertising campaign to a client and you're hoping they're going to sign the contract, and it could be worth millions of dollars, pounds, euros. Mm. And in the last minute, or whenever they decide not to sign the contract, they go to a competitor or they just decide not to do the advert, whatever it may be. So you've missed out on that golden, you say de oro, no? Dorado. You missed out on a golden opportunity there for your company to make a lot of money, no?
Absolutely.
So it's the same thing, no? You had an objective, a goal was to get that client to sign that contract worth X amount of money, and it doesn't happen. So you failed to achieve your objective.
Absolutely.
So
yeah,
you sort of the same thing. You missed out on that objective or that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that so interesting all the time in work situations.
Absolutely. Sign is also an interesting one, just worth covering quickly, because I don't know whether this has ever happened to you, but a lot of my clients in the past have kind of got confused between sign and sing, which is kind of strange. Like they sign the contract or sing the contract, which is kind of interesting.
I don't know if I've come across that one.
You've never had that? Wow, yes. Yes.
I've come across badly pronouncing it, because you've got signature and to sign.
Ah, yes.
So sometimes they'll confuse and say signature, which is logical, because to sign, you expect it to be the same, but it isn't, just because it's English, has to be difficult.
Yeah.
So you sign your, to sign your signature. People say, sign my signature.
Yes, of course, because the G's.
Because they keep the same.
Think, the G is often, they think of the spelling, right?
So, I mean, and the I, the vowel changes from sign to si. So sign to signature. So it's a double problem.
Mm.
But I haven't heard somebody confusing, or not that I remember, the sign and the, was it?
And to sing, literally to cantar. So it's kind of another funny one, really, because you're kind of like, do you want to sing it to me? Do you want to, you know, do you want to sing the contract?
The contract? What, the words are la la. I haven't heard that one. That would be funny.
It is funny. And I think that maybe the problem does come from that spelling that you've just mentioned there in terms of signature. Maybe that's partly where it comes from.
Changing the sign to the I of the signature would make you say sing, in fact.
Yes. Exactly. Yes, exactly. So that's maybe, again, where we're discovering things we didn't know before. But I mean, because I was always kind of, it's a bit of a mystery why some people would say that. You know?
Yeah, sometimes you don't know why people are making mistakes. And then you go, oh, yes, of course. Yeah. There is some logic there into why, from a Spanish perspective. No?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. So it's kind of an interesting one. Yeah, but going back to that phrasal verb, to miss out on an opportunity. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever missed out on any big opportunities?
Oof, I'm sure I have all the time. Yes.
You thought you were going to get a good contract with a company for English classes and it didn't work out, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sure that happens regularly.
Yes. You have to kind of take a fairly philosophical approach.
Take it with a pinch of salt, which is a strange expression, but so just accept and go, well, okay, there'll be another one.
There'll be another one, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, definitely I've missed out on lots of opportunities, without a doubt. Mm. I think that's, when you're in business, I think that's kind of part and parcel. That's a very strange expression.
Another strange expression.
Part and parcel. And parcel. of the business or being in business, right?
Yeah, part and parcel to say it. I don't know. It's normal. It forms a part of that of normality. No.
Yeah,
that's what you would expect in business. That sometimes those things happen. So it's part and parcel of business.
Yeah.
Or life. Or have you ever missed out on something else, like a great trip, a great holiday? You couldn't go because you're ill or something. Your kids have just missed out on going to Disneyland.
Well, that's true. Yes, yes. So that's one thing. Hopefully, we will go very soon or shortly, at least, so we kind of don't get that perception of missing out.
Yeah.
I think I missed out also, like just before my children were born. And I think we mentioned this before. We were planning a trip to, I think it was Thailand, and I'd had like everything sort of pre-planned and pretty much researched. And then, of course, my wife found out that she was pregnant. So then, of course, that we kind of missed out on Thailand, to be honest, in that whole trip. Another day,
when the kids are grown up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that one, another episode we talked about that. Yeah. So there you are. Yeah, you missed out.
Yeah.
So you can just miss something, or you can miss out on, and it tends to be sort of opportunities in that sense. No?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a physical thing. No?
That's right. But we need to, before we move on from miss, we need to also probably talk about the way miss is used most, and why many Spanish speakers probably avoid miss, because they often think it's sort of echar de menos, right?
Which it is. So there's another.
Which it is, absolutely. But they kind of associate it maybe more with that, and then they say, well, I can't say miss because that means echar
de menos. What's that got to do with a train?
Yeah, that's
or
right.
Or a plane,
right.
No? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I think most Spanish speakers who have a certain level of English, the people we're dealing with, usually intermediate upwards in most cases, they'll know echar de menos, miss is the one that people generally know. Yeah. Or miss as in, you know, miss as in Miss España, Miss World, Miss Spain. It's totally different, you know, because it's just the title of a señorita. No, an unmarried woman is a miss.
That's right.
It used to be. Now there's other ways to refer to it. But it used to, in my time, we called our teachers Miss something at school because it was very formal in those days.
Yes.
So anyway, that's a completely different thing. So people say, I know miss like Miss Spain, Miss World. I know echar de menos.
Right.
But usually they don't know the one we've been discussing, which is miss the train or miss an opportunity, etc.
That's right.
And I don't think there's any connection that I can make with the whole idea of not achieving your objectives and the concept of echar de menos. So here I think it's just a completely different meaning. I can't connect it at all.
Yes.
If anyone else knows a connection, let us know, because I can't think of one. So, Daniel, I mean, is there anything you miss? Obviously, you've been living in Spain like me for many years. Is there anything you miss about England or living in England?
It's a really good question. I mean, most of the time when I answer that question, I quickly say, no, there's not much that I miss.
Yeah, me too. Not really.
I mean, I don't know why. It's kind of like an automated response, you know? It's like, no, I don't really miss that much at all. But probably there are a few things that I miss. And
Maybe you only realize when you go back and you visit.
There are some things that I miss. Maybe it's just maybe using the English language a little bit more, you know, like going into a shop and just being able to communicate absolutely freely and without any effort whatsoever. Feeling a little bit more in control of different situations. And probably there are other things, strange things, like I miss the BBC. Like I actually don't watch the BBC. Nobody knows what BBC is. It's the British Broadcasting Corporation.
And all the rest of it,
I could watch the BBC. I just don't. I just don't do it.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I could, but I don't. I read the website, the news occasionally, but I don't watch.
Yeah.
The program that you can get now.
Yeah.
So it's strange, sort of miss it, but then you don't actually take advantage to use it. It's just
the idea that
it's sort of there, around.
Yeah.
As it is in the UK.
The other thing, there are certain things in the UK that are kind of like very, let's say, that come along in part of the year. And it's kind of particularly this point now. For example, like when you're in the UK, there's Wimbledon tennis like on the telly all the time, you know? It's like, like when I'm in England, I will watch the tennis, but here I miss watching the tennis, for example, but I don't I don't watch it here. You know,
yeah, here so you have to pay. I think it's free to air in UK, not on the BBC.
Yes, that's right.
I think.
Exactly.
I'm a bit lost with these things. Lost with these things now. Yeah. What about friends and family, your parents, or that?
Of course, yes.
But I mean, that is in contact with them in different ways now.
Yes, I mean, I am in contact with my. I mean, that is probably the. It's kind of like there used to be a program here in Spain, and I don't know whether it still exists, which is kind of Madrileños por el Mundo, Españoles por el Mundo.
Yeah.
And they always, you know, they always used to go to speak to these Spanish speakers, you know, like, or Spaniards in different parts of the world. And they'd say, what do you miss from Spain? And it's always pretty much the same thing, sort of friends, family, food, maybe the sun. I'm not sure.
If they're in England, they say the sun and the food nearly always.
Which is
we don't miss British food, really.
No, that's right. See, we can't really miss the when we're here in Spain, we don't miss the English weather.
So the weather,
and we don't.
I miss
really
good beer.
Miss...
Well, not actually. But well, now in Spain you can also get good beer. Not when I arrived.
Okay.
Or not a variety of beer.
Right.
So now you've got all this craft beer revolution in the last 10 years, maybe. So now you can get what I refer to as decent beer. Obviously, that's very subjective.
Sure.
Different kinds and styles of beer.
Yeah.
Shall we say that in England was just normal,
right?
So when I first came, it was like, well, you just got basically all the beers the same to me. It's perfectly acceptable, but I like more variety, more choice, which now you have. So you know, it has got a lot better. So now I don't miss beer. I miss an English pub, like an English
country,
a really nice old English country pub.
They are quite nice
because that doesn't exist in Spain in that same way.
No, that's
so, you
true.
Know, with the wooden beams and the. You know, there's something very characterful about a little village, an old English village pub.
Yes.
Don't get that here. So sometimes when I'm in England and I visit one of these old pubs in a nice, beautiful, typically English village, and they're, you know, all covered in flowers and, you know, that occasionally go, oh, this is nice. And I really enjoy it. I probably appreciate it because I don't have it. So if I had it all the time, I'd take it for granted.
Absolutely.
Take it for granted.
Yeah.
Good expression.
Yeah, absolutely.
Italo, I think, is the. Or por hecho. No?
Por hecho, sí.
Yeah.
Por
so the fact that I don't have it in Spain, I do really appreciate that when I go back to England. So
yeah.
I wouldn't say I actively miss it. I mean, I'm not sitting every day going, oh, I wish I could.
Sure.
So it's, I don't know if you say I miss it or not. It's one thing about England that I like that I don't have.
Yeah.
Whether you could say I miss it exactly, I'm not sure.
Because
I'm quite happy here. I don't really miss anything. I suppose if we really missed things about British life and culture, we wouldn't be here. We would have gone
back.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously we don't miss it enough because we're quite happy living here.
Exactly.
So it's maybe little details, small things now and again, but
nothing
big, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Good. So there we go. A few things that we both miss about the UK, which is just to get that clear about what actually miss echar de menos means. Okay. And then the only thing that really remains is to kind of talk about lose, right? And because right at the beginning we were saying, well, you can't lose the train, you can't lose a plane, right? But of course, if something does belong to you, you can lose stuff, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking before we started recording this, and Alistair, you mentioned that you are kind of one of these individuals that does lose sort of things from time to time.
Yeah, we were discussing, like, what's the most valuable or biggest thing? Or most important thing you've ever lost. So my obvious example is the passport, as I mentioned before.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So I suppose that's the most valuable, not valuable in terms of money. Well, it costs quite a lot to replace it, but, you know, in terms of the use of it, you need it. No?
Yeah.
So I was in India. I needed it to get home. So But apart from that, I tend to lose, you know, small things. So I've lost many umbrellas, scarves, gloves.
Yeah.
Those kind of things that in winter you're using. Obviously, you go into a pub, a restaurant, you take them off and you just put them down, at the back of the chair or somewhere. Or the worst one with an umbrella is, you know, they have these umbrella stand, like when you go into a shop because they're wet.
Yeah.
They make you put them in a, I don't know what it's called, a place for umbrellas at the entrance.
An umbrella stand.
Umbrella stand, maybe is the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I go in the shop, go shopping, completely forget about the umbrella and just walk out. Now, if it's raining, I'll notice because I'm getting wet and go, my umbrella. But if it stopped raining, I'll just go home and only realize I haven't got my umbrella, I don't know, quite a long time afterwards.
Right.
And then you've got to go back to the shop or call the shop. Did you find an umbrella? So, you know, things that I can't see are not connected to me, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
I lose very easily. And my mother always used to say to me the phrase, that you'd lose your head if it wasn't connected to your shoulders.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. Because, you know, it's difficult to lose your head because it's part of your body. But an umbrella, gloves, scarves, etc. are not.
You sound a little bit like my son, to be honest. He has a very good, a very developed skill in terms of losing stuff, I have to say.
So he's a bit, but, you know, despistado.
Yeah, we were talking about this word as well, because you said some clients ask you that, right?
Yeah, many times. How do you say despistado?
Exactly.
And I'm like, well, because there's quite a few ways. And I can't always remember them immediately. I often have to look it up, in fact. The one I always remember, the first two that come to my mind, because there must be five or six in English, because despistado can have slightly different senses. Mm. So it depends which way you're using
it. It's true, yes.
You might have
a
slightly different word in English. But the first one that I always think of is absent-minded. Mm. Literally, some ausencia de mente. Mm. So, you know, in the sense of absent-minded is me, because, you know, if something is absent from my mind, like, I can't see the umbrella in front of me.
Sure.
It's not in my mind. I'm thinking about doing the shopping in the shop, or I'm thinking about something else.
Yeah.
And therefore the umbrella has ceased to exist in my mind.
So absolutely.
I'm absent-minded. Yeah. And then I just walk out the shop or the restaurant, the bar, and leave it there. The same with, you know, the mobile phone, or, you know, I've got it on the table. I think on my 60th birthday, I told you this example, I went for a dinner in a very nice restaurant in Madrid, and I just had my phone next to me on the table.
Yeah.
And at the end, I just got up and walked out of the restaurant and just left it there, because I wasn't looking at it in that moment.
Yeah.
That phone didn't exist for me. It wasn't there. So, you know, that's being absent-minded. Luckily, my wife had booked the restaurant, the reservation, so they had her phone number. So we were in the car driving home, and they rang and said, did you leave by any chance a mobile phone on the table, an Apple? I went, oh, yes, yes, it's mine. So we had to drive back to the restaurant and collect it. So luckily, no one stole it. The waiter obviously found it when they came to clear the table. Mm. And if I'd made the reservation, they couldn't have called me, because obviously they had my phone. So luckily my wife did it. Now, I probably, when I got home, I probably went, where's my phone? I would have remembered, telephoned the restaurant and said, did you find a phone? And collected it the next day.
Maybe, yeah.
If somebody hadn't stolen it. But so lucky I've never lost a mobile phone. So I've never had it, you know, I've left them many times, but then gone back and collected them quite quickly.
Yeah, touch wood.
Touch wood. The, talking about it. And you, I don't know if you ever lost. Are you absent-minded? No, your son's absent-minded.
But my son is absent-minded. I think I'm less absent-minded than he is, and I generally try not to.
He didn't get it from you. Did he get it from his mother?
I know. Well, I mean, it's difficult to know who he got it from.
Yeah, who did he inherit?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I don't think he got it from my wife either. So I think probably he got it more from me. Yeah, but I mean, I have in the past sort of thought I've lost something. For example, I can remember a day where, you know, especially like it was an important day, like Reyes or something like that, and I was so stressed with all the sort of presents and everything else that, and you know, thinking of doing all these different things, that I definitely I probably just saw my phone, put it in a drawer, and that was it. And then for the whole day of Reyes, I thought that I'd lost my phone. I thought I was never see it again.
Three Kings Day, no? Six again. You also have the word forgetful.
So yes.
People who often forget things or forget to do things are forgetful, which is basically absent-minded. It's very similar. So you put your phone in a drawer and forgot about it.
And it was on silent, so I couldn't call it or whatever.
Yeah,
so,
that's my problem. My phone's always on silent. So if I can't find it in the house, my wife says, okay, I'll ring you. I said, no, it's not going to do any good. Because it doesn't make
it's
a noise.
It's on silent, that's right.
I just have to keep looking for it till I find it.
Yeah. And so I was quite stressed on that day. And I think it even went on for a few days. And then, so I'd kind of almost given up hope. And then just a few days later, when I was already researching new phones and what I was going to buy, I kind of opened up a drawer and thought, wow, there it is. There it is. Incredible. Fantastic. Yeah. This is like, how can you put a phone in a drawer and then completely forget that you put it there?
Oh, but very easily. I could do that, you see.
You know,
if I can't see it, it doesn't exist for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or not. You know, I'm exaggerating, but that is the way my mind seems to work. I put something in one place and then forget where I put it. And so that's a good example. So you didn't actually lose it, though, in the end. It was
I didn't. No,
just
no.
You forgot.
But, you know, anything related to keys, wallets, and phones, or technology in general, if I lose any of those, that type of sort of category of sort of important documents.
Yeah, we're terrified, aren't we, these days of losing.
That is pretty
mobile
stressful.
Phones in particular, so much information in there.
Oh, yeah.
All your phone numbers and et cetera.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost your car? It's just occurred to me. I lost the car. What you say? How can you lose a car?
Oh, well, yeah.
Where you park it and you can't remember where you parked it.
Right, yes.
So in a super, these huge shopping centers, shopping malls, with three levels of parking with different colors.
Sure.
And
sure.
So I just park it and then don't just walk into the center without, you know, looking where it was, which level, yeah, what color, what number.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is later, you come back and you go, where's the car? Was it level, yeah, one, two, three? And I remember, in the place was just horrific. There were thousands of cars.
Oh my God.
And just
God,
having to,
right,
walk around the whole car park on three levels with the, you know, just with the, what do you call it? The remote, no?
Trying, yeah,
to
the beep, fob. Beep, beep. I think you can say fob, can't you?
Fob? Yeah. I don't know, yeah, what it's called, but yeah. Trying, yeah, to, with the, trying to look for a flashing light.
Yeah, sure.
Or the noise, no?
Yeah. Yeah.
For about, God knows, maybe more than an hour.
Yeah.
And getting very stressed, going, oh my God, I can't.
Somebody's stolen the car. You know, well, that must go through your head as well.
Yeah, either stolen or, yeah, or you just know it's there somewhere, but you could be the rest of your life trying to find it. So that's happened to me once. So since then, what I do now is take a photograph.
Okay.
Get out of the car and take a photo where it is.
Oh,
right. Color, with the number. Not always, right, but, or no, at least consciously.
Yeah,
yeah, or consciously go, okay, you know, look where it is, the number, the, yeah, floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just walk off, and
because
it's so easy to do that. Yeah, it sounds ridiculous, but it can happen. Or in the street, if you park your car in the street.
Yeah, I know other people who've actually had that sort of situation in the street where they can't find the street again or whatever. Mm. But actually, recently in the fluency community, I said that we were talking about skills, about, you know, your the type of skills that kind of you're very naturally good at, and one of those skills that I'm good at is actually orientating myself in terms of finding my way back,
good
or
memory,
working away. Yeah, in terms good of like spatial orientation, you know what I mean. Mm. And I'm actually very good at that, so I actually haven't lost a car or lost my car or whatever.
Maybe sort of photographic memory, you can picture,
yeah,
you know, where,
yeah,
it
I kind
is,
of, yes, or, yeah, I kind of quite good at that. I'm quite good at that, yeah. But you know, I can lose a phone or whatever, but finding a car again, normally I'm all right, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm good at, I can find myself my way around cities.
Oh, can you?
Good. So I have a very good memory for, you know, getting from A to B and remember having to get back or get back to the hotel.
Yeah,
because my wife is terrible. She's got idea. So, you know, right. I can usually, you know, I'm good at orientating, but not necessarily finding the car. I mean, you could say,
right,
isn't it the same thing, but not exactly.
No, it's slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Amazing. Alistair, I think we've got through there and quite a lot of detail, you know,
from one
miss
word,
and
really,
lose.
From,
absolutely.
From losing,
yes,
the bus.
Just from, yeah, from losing the bus, which you can't say, which you can't say.
You can't say.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you very much. As usual, it was very entertaining, really interesting. And I'll see you again next week.
Yeah. Okay? Thank you. A pleasure as always.
All right.
Cheers.
Speak soon. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.